Amen. How we doing, Shoreline? Yeah, take a seat. Take a load off them feet. Thank you, Hank Autry and Monica Choi, for leading us in worship. Yeah, that's worth it. All right, my name is Jermaine Harrison. If we've never met, I'm so glad that you chose to come hang out with us on the day after 4th of July. You're probably still sleepy from all your boomerang videos of fireworks. Or if you didn't see fireworks, you probably still saw lots of fireworks because that's what everyone does on the 4th of July. It just shows you the pictures of them having fun with their lives. So if you weren't here last week, we just started our new series called Margins, and the idea behind it is that Christians that may be in this room or that may be listening, have an opportunity to respond to people on the margins of society in a different way than the rest of the world does. You know, when you think of margins, you think of the margins of a page where no one writes, where no one even goes, because you don't want to get there. You don't want to go there. Those are the kinds of people that we think of when we think of the margins. And so last week, David Peniel talked to you guys about how Christians should respond to orphans and how we are to treat them like family. If you missed it last week, you can jump online and listen to that message. This week, we're going to talk about a Christian response to modern day slavery. A Christian responds to slaves in 2017. Believe it or not, they exist and they're all around us, and God has something to say to us if we are believers in the room about them. And if you're not a Christian, I want you to listen to this message and understand that this is the way a Christian is supposed to live and function in our world. All right? So I want to start this off or set it up by telling you a story. How many of you have ever lost your wallet? Let me see your hand if you've ever lost it. Yep, there you go. There you go. Most of the hands in the room go up because we like to lose our wallets for some reason. I don't know why. So this is my wallet. I like having a really slim and slender wallet, so I only have the bare necessities, my credit card, my driver's license, insurance, and a stick of gum, because you always need a stick of gum with you. So I always carry this wallet with me. And so a few months ago at D-Town, how many of you guys were at D-Town? 17. There you go. So at D-Town, if you've never been, sign up for D-Town 18 when it's possible to sign up. On the Saturday afternoon, all of the different grades of students go to different places to just kind of spend the afternoon having fun, like Jump Street, or go bowling, or go to Main Event, or wherever else. And so I was assigned, so every staff person goes to a different place to make sure to pay for all the food and all the excitement that happens. And so I was with all of the junior high kids from the Dallas campus. So think 400 junior hires going crazy at Jump Street in Plano, literally jumping off of everything they possibly can. But it's fine because you're at Jump Street where you can do that. And so they're eating lots of pizza. I'm making sure everything's going how it's supposed to go. And we're about to head back to Watermark for the evening session. And I need to pay this a couple thousand dollars worth of bill for food and games and all this stuff, and I cannot find my wallet. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? And so I go out to the parking lot. I check in the car. I check everywhere in the car. It's not in there. I walk back in. I go everywhere that I'd been for the night. I went to the dodgeball station where I'd thrown some dodgeball at sixth graders' faces, and it was awesome. I went everywhere that I went that evening, retracing my steps because I wanted to find my wallet. And I could not find it. This tiny wallet, it's kind of hard to find. And when I'd lost all hope, I went back to the front of the Jump Street, and I was going to tell them, sorry, I literally cannot pay you. I don't have my wallet. And I looked down on the ground, and the carpet at the front of that Jump Street is navy blue, and the front of my wallet is also navy blue. So you can imagine, if this is on the ground, you can't actually see it. And so my wallet was hiding in plain sight, and I couldn't see it. And because it was something that was lost, I was doing everything I could to try and find it. So I learned a few lessons from my lost wallet that I think are relevant to way more important things in our lives. All right? And the first one is this: when you lose something valuable, you search for it until you find it. Right? When you lose something valuable, you search for it until you find it. You go everywhere you've been. You look under the mattress. You look in random places that it could never even be. You're like checking in the fridge. Maybe I was getting soda and I forgot and threw my wallet in there. Like, what? Well, you do all this kind of stuff because you really, really want to find this valuable item, right? Next thing that I learned is that sometimes our lost valuables are hiding in plain sight, right? My wallet, I looked everywhere for it, and it was right at my feet. I just couldn't see it, and it was in plain sight. And the last one will be, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. Because I didn't see my wallet didn't mean it wasn't actually there on the ground right at my feet. And far more important than a lost wallet, which can be replaced and get new credit cards and whatever else, far more important than a lost wallet are lost human beings. More specifically, the millions upon millions of human beings lost in the world of slavery in 2017. So modern day slaves, I'm going to explain some more about it, but they're on the margins of society. And you, if you call yourself a Christian, a Christ follower, have an opportunity, a responsibility, in fact, to seek their welfare. And so just to kind of give us a main point that we're going to work with tonight, it's this: if you're taking notes, Christians should seek those affected by modern-day slavery until they are found. Christians should seek those affected by modern-day slavery until they are found. So we'll look at a Christian response to humans enslaved specifically in the world of sex trafficking and labor trafficking. And if you've never heard of those terms, I think you have, but we'll look at them in a little bit greater detail. All right, so Christian response to humans enslaved in the world of sex trafficking and labor trafficking. So we'll look at five quick points very quickly. Those points are these: who are modern slaves? Like, who are we talking about when we say modern slaves and modern slavery? Who are we talking about? Then how does a person become a slave? How does this actually happen? And then a few facts that I would love to give to you guys about slavery, and then what God's word says about slaves, and then how you and I can help. If you're frantically writing, don't worry. We'll put these points back up as the sermon continues to go. So grab your Bible, grab a pen, or grab your phone if that's what you usually use to take notes and to read from Scripture, because there's so much out there on this topic. And I'm going to tell you up front, there's no way I'm going to cover or deal with every question that you have in your mind. But hopefully I can give you some tools or some resources that will help you if you are a follower of Christ to be the kind of Christian that reaches out to the margins of society. All right? So we'll look at a couple verses that will kind of set the stage for where we're going. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Proverbs 31, Proverbs chapter 31. If you've heard it in the past, you've probably heard that chapter being referenced to talking about a virtuous woman. But there's something that comes right before that that's relevant to tonight. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. So we're talking about people in 2017 who are enslaved through sex trafficking or labor trafficking specifically. And this is what God's word has to say that will kind of set the stage for what we're going to talk about tonight. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, it says this to you and to me, if you call yourself a Jesus follower, it says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. I want you to pay attention to the words, you know, highlighted in yellow, because it's kind of talking about the people on the margins of society, the slaves that we are referencing tonight. They can't speak for themselves. They're being crushed. They're poor. They're helpless. And you, high schooler in 2017, have an opportunity to speak up, to ensure justice for them, and to see that they get justice, as verse 9 says. So moving right along, number one, who are modern slaves? Like, who specifically are we talking about when we make this comment or make this point that you have a responsibility and an opportunity to seek the welfare of modern slaves? There's lots of definitions out there, and so I just kind of made up my own and put them all together and came up with this very simple one, and it's this. A slave is anyone who's being exploited for profit. A slave is anyone, any man, woman, boy, or girl who's been exploited or taken advantage of or cheated for profit. And we'll go into that a little bit more. So an example of a slave in this context would be a child laborer. I'm sure you've heard this, but I really want to share it with you. Man, there's some places in our world where a seven-year-old doesn't go to school to first grade like you know it to be true. Every day they wake up, they go to work. They go to work making some of the clothes that unfortunately we in America purchase. They go to work making bricks. They go to work harvesting crops from different fields, all of these different things. Imagine, how many of you guys have a younger brother or a younger sister? Sibling, younger sibling. There you go. Imagine whoever your younger brother or sister is. As annoying as they are, I know that you would not hope that every day they wake up, they don't go to school, they don't get to annoy you, they get to go to this random place where they work for no pay, where they're beaten, where they're punished, and that's their life. Wake up, you go to work. And then you wake up the next day, 8-year-old, and go to work again. That's a reality for lots of people, as we'll see. And so child laborers would be an example. Individuals in the pornography industry or prostitution or teenagers, women, men. I mean, anyone that you can think of can be exploited for profit. And we'll see some more of that as we go along. So how does that actually happen? Like, you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, how does a kid end up being a child laborer? Or how does a teenage girl end up being drawn into the pornography industry and making videos and doing all this stuff? How does this happen? How does a person become a slave in 2017? And throughout this message, I'm going to give you some websites, some resources that I think will be helpful for you to go to afterwards so you can write these down, as I say them throughout the message. And so to answer this question, how does a person become a slave, I found some interesting points and articles on a website called, or an organization known as, the International Justice Mission. And so the website is ijm.org, ijm.org. And this is how they explain how a person becomes a slave. It says this: forced labor slavery uses deception, threats, or violence to coerce someone to work for little to no pay. Although slavery has been outlawed in nearly every country, millions of men, women, and children are working as slaves in brick kilns, rice mills, garment factories, fishing operations, and many other such industries. Here's another quote from that same organization. It says, sex trafficking is a form of modern slavery in which someone coerces or deceives another person into commercial sexual exploitation for profit. That's crazy to even think about. And so in other words, no one wakes up and says, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to be a slave. I'm going to sell my body, or I'm going to work for little to no pay. No one wakes up and makes that conscious choice. They're beaten. They're drugged. They're promised money so that they can buy food to survive the day. Their life is threatened, or the lives of their family members are threatened. If you don't do this, you're going to die. If you don't do this, your family members are going to die. Or I'm going to beat them every day until you continue to obey me. Like, that's the kind of thing that happens to a person who is a slave. A person becomes a slave not by choice, but because they're made into a a slave, by people who don't care about them, by people who only care about making money and experiencing pleasure for themselves. So that's how someone becomes a slave. Moving on very quickly, because we have a lot more to cover. Here are a couple facts about slavery as I research this. There's so much out there, but I think these will help for our purposes here tonight. Facts about slavery. Number one, slavery has existed throughout human history. It is not a new phenomenon. Here's what I mean by that. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of creation and they chose to disobey God, when they chose to live their own life, from that moment, sin entered the world. And guess what else entered the world? Racism and slavery, where people were treated differently, where people were looked down upon because of the color of their skin, because of the family they were born into, or because of the amount of money that they have. All of these different reasons are why there's slavery in our world, because we live in a world where there is sin, and as long as there's sin, and it will be here until Jesus comes back, there will be slavery, there will be racism. It is not a new thing that happened in the Civil War in America. It's been going on ever since man sinned in the garden. So that's the first fact. Slavery has existed throughout human history. Next one, slavery today is carried out underground. Slavery today is mostly carried out underground, out of sight, and sadly, out of mind. Like, you don't just walk down the street and see someone getting kidnapped. Or you don't just walk down the street and see a 7-year-old saying they're going to work today. Like, you don't just normally see this. It happens, but you just don't see it. It happens in plain sight. In fact, the next point is this. There are an estimated 45.8 million people held in slavery today. This is an estimate because it's underground, because it's secret. You can't really fully track it. But 45.8 million, that's crazy. The great state of Texas in which we live has a population of about 28 million people. So imagine the amount of slaves that are in the world are Texas and a half. Every person that you know, every person that you see, every person you bump into or drive by on the highway, imagine every single one of them, and then a half more of every single one that you know are enslaved. And it could be the number could be way higher than that. The next point is this. Children represent an estimated 26% of all forced labor victims. So imagine that number, 45.8 million, is the true number. 26% of that is about 11 million children. Children. Dallas or the DFW area has 8 million people. So imagine there are more children in the labor slavery industry than there are people in the DFW area. Then here's the next one. Since 2007, the National Human Trafficking Hotline, I don't have the one on the screen, but I'll still tell you, has received reports of 22,190 sex trafficking cases in the United States. So this isn't just happening like somewhere across the ocean where we don't have to worry about it. It's happening in Dallas, Texas. And here's the next one on screen. Globally, the International Labor Organization estimates that there are 4.5 million people trapped in forced sexual exploitation. And then the last one, which is crazy to even think about. In a report in 2014, for that year, 2014, the Urban Institute estimated that the underground sex economy ranged from 39.9 million in Denver, Colorado, so just one city in this state, to $290 million in Atlanta, Georgia. And that was back in 2014. Who knows what the number is today? But what the reality of, you know, like you hear that and you see those numbers and you're like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. How are so many men and women and children being exploited in all of these different ways for the profit of other people? This is crazy. And here's the deal. I don't share those numbers to get you to say, okay, we've reached our limit, so we have to start working. Here's the deal. If there was only one person, if there was only one person enslaved in the entire world, guess what? That would be one person too many. We don't have to hear huge numbers to be like, man, Christians need to respond. Because if there's only one person enslaved, that's one person who's not living out the purpose that God set them on this earth to do. So, moving on then, what does God's word have to say about slaves? If all of this is true, if we have such a problem in our world, what does God have to say about it? And so here's how I'm going to set this up. I'm going to give you a statement or an idea of what God has to say about slavery, and then I'll give you a passage of scripture that backs it up, all right? So the first one is this. Every human being is created with dignity and honor and value. Every human being is created with dignity and honor and value. That's the first thing that God's word says about slaves. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, here's what we read. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along on the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so what we see here is God made you. God made every single human being in his likeness. God created them special and unique with dignity and honor and value. And so none of them should be enslaved and taken advantage of and put in a situation where they're not experiencing life as they should. So the first thing we understand about God's word and slaves is that every human being is created with dignity, honor, and value. Here's the second thing. God cares for and fights for slaves. God cares for and he fights for slaves. We see this in Proverbs 22, verses 22 and 23. Look at what he says. He says, "Do not exploit the poor, do not take advantage of the poor, because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court." Or guess what? Here's what's going to happen. "For the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life." So here's what he's saying. For anyone who is taking advantage of someone, taking them into slavery, using them for their own financial profit and pleasure and whatever else they're using the slaves for, God is saying in Proverbs 22, hey, I am going to fight for them. I am going to take up their case. This isn't the police coming. This isn't your mom coming, no matter how scary both of those might be. This is the God of the universe coming to bring justice. So he cares and he fights for slaves. And so the third point is obvious. If we are followers of Jesus, if we claim God as the Lord of our lives, then Christians should speak up on the behalf of slaves. Christians should speak up on the behalf of slaves. We already read this passage, but it's worth noting again, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice." And so this is what God's word has to say. Human beings, every single one, is created with dignity and honor and value. And God cares for them and God fights for them. And you should too if you claim to be a follower of his. That's what God's word has to say about slaves. And so lastly, how can we help? Now I've given you all this information and showed you the epidemic or the problem in our world and in our culture. What can you do? What can a high schooler do in 2017 about the problem of labor trafficking and sex trafficking in our world? I'm glad you asked because I got a couple answers. The first thing that you can do to help is pray. Just simply put, the first thing you can do is pray. Now, I know some of you in the room are going, oh, here we go. It's the church answer. We have to pray and hope that God does something. No. You have to pray and hope that God does something. How many of you guys have ever prayed in your life for someone that's a slave? How many of you have ever said this prayer? Lord, I come to you on the behalf of people who are being taken advantage of in our world. They're poor, and people are using them for their own gain. Would you protect them? Would you save them? Would you rescue them? I pray for organizations that are doing this, that, Lord, you would use them to free slaves. How many of you guys have ever prayed that prayer? I prayed it like while I was getting this sermon ready so I can raise my hand. Because that's not something you think about, right? But it's something that we should all do. So how can we help? Number one, pray. The second thing you can do is get equipped and raise awareness. Get equipped and raise awareness. On the screen, you see a few websites that are trusted faith-based organizations that are in our world, and they're seeking to shine a light on slavery. They're seeking to free tons of the millions of people that are enslaved through labor trafficking and sex trafficking. So the first one, I'll just go through real quick what they are. You can write them down and check them out later on. So IJM.org, I mentioned before, it strengthens the justice system in foreign countries to bring human traffickers to justice. Then Reclaimed 431, it teaches us how to combat sex trafficking in the U.S. They actually put on a class here at Watermark that you can sign up for and go to learn more about this and how you can get involved. The next one is love146.org, and their stated goal is to end child trafficking and exploitation. And then the last one is enditmovement.com. If you've ever seen someone post online, you know, an X on their wrist, a red X, that's the organization that it's with. They want to shine a light and raise the awareness on the sex slave industry. And then the next thing that you can do, the next way that a high schooler in Dallas can help is by giving. Giving to any of those organizations that I just mentioned, and maybe even some of you know of other ones that are doing great work and serving our city, our country, and our world by helping people to be freed from slavery. So you can give to one of those organizations. Remember we said last week that tank of gas costs $35, and who knows what the Lord could do with that tank of gas that you use the money to give to one of these organizations to free a child from being a child laborer, to free a woman, a teenager, a man from the sex slave industry. And then here's another challenging one. Recognize your part. Another way that you can help is by recognizing your part in the problem. Unfortunately, lots of us in the room or people that you know are a part of the problem. Like, you're saying out loud, yeah, sex trafficking is awful, and why would anyone ever do that, and let's abolish it. But at the same time that you're being vocal and loud about it, you are also contributing to the problem. Let me show you a video that kind of sets that up. Watch this.
This is Anna. Wait, don't click to someone else yet, because Anna's stuck here on your computer screen. And while you can walk away, her image is stuck on the internet. See, your fantasy is Anna's nightmare. There's a good chance recruiters lured her with flattery. Perhaps they baited her with cash. Maybe they even tranquilized her with date rape drugs. And if Anna's like many others, she stays sedated with alcohol, weed, or coke to numb the pain. Chances are she faces STDs and HIV because she's denied access to protection. We don't know what she's been through because we only see Anna smiling. And they keep showing Anna smiling so that you'll keep watching. See, pornography is integral to human trafficking and prostitution. In 9 countries, almost half, 49%, said that pornography was made of them while they were in prostitution. This generation fights sex trafficking more than anyone ever has, and more than anyone ever has, this generation consumes porn. Fighting human trafficking and then watching porn is like protesting a corrupt politician and then donating to his campaign. You browse privately, going from Anna to Zoe and back to Anna. Watch your favorite fantasy and then walk away. But Anna's still there. She's stuck there, stuck in this life because you click. Each click, each link, each URL visit and play button, this is the currency of porn. This is the price of Anna's life. The $100 billion pornography industry is fueling the appetite for children as well. Teenage girls now make up the biggest slice of viewable porn, which by definition is considered trafficking. The demand for porn fuels the trafficking industry, and you can take away that demand. You can cut the cord on this machine. You can bankrupt the system. You can empty the pimp's pockets. You can free Anna by simply refusing to click.
That's a sobering video to watch and even hear those things, right? I mean, I didn't show that to you guys or watch it to make you feel guilty if that's something that you've ever partaken of, but to show you how we sometimes contribute to the things that we say that we hate so much. And so, first and foremost, the reason anyone should not watch pornography is because it is an offense against God. It is a sin. It is a distortion of what he thinks or what he's created sex to be. So that's the first reason. So before we even get to what he's talking about in this video, we shouldn't do it because it displeases our heavenly Father. And then this is just a consequence, a fruit of it, that if you have indulged or continue to choose to indulge in pornography. The honest fact is we don't know how many of the individuals on your screen or on screens all over the world have been drugged, have been coerced, have been forced to be there on that screen. And as you continue to watch, as you continue to think that it's not affecting anyone else, it is. It's not just something that you do in your room while you're watching it on your phone screen, and it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And so another way that you can help is by choosing to not watch porn. It's like it's as simple as that, but still as difficult as that. And then the last one, the last way that you can help, and then we'll be out of here, is by talking often of the freedom you've experienced in Christ to the slaves all around you. Talk often of the freedom you've experienced in Christ to the slaves all around you. And the reason why I have slaves in quotation marks in this point is because I'm not necessarily talking about slaves in the sex industry or the labor industry. I'm talking about your friends, your neighbors, your siblings, your classmates who are slaves to anxiety, slaves to lust, slaves to greed and envy and worry and control and anger, and you name it. There's slaves all around. And you have an opportunity to tell them, if you claim to be a Jesus follower, you have an opportunity to show them and talk often of the freedom that you have experienced in Christ. Not the perfection, because this side of heaven will continue to struggle, will continue to mess up here and there. But we know that we have been set free because John tells us in the Gospel of John that whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. It's not just some, oh, you're kind of free. No, you're free. And every day he helps you to be more and more free from the things that once enslaved you if you come to trust in his goodness and in his grace. In fact, the greatest expression of his love for us is recorded in, man, one of our favorite passages of scripture, Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into your hearts. The spirit who calls out Abba, Father, or Daddy. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Remember that song we sung you know, right before this message. And since you are his child, God has also has made you also an heir. Man, there's so much good news for you to tell and share with others if you are a follower of Christ. You can tell your friends, you can tell your neighbors, you can tell whoever that the God of the universe loved you, loved me, loved all of us so much that he sent his son to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death, and to raise again from the grave so that you and I can have the opportunity to be free, to have a reconciled relationship with God. We're free. We can tell other people how they can be free from whatever is enslaving them. And so to close us out, just like I didn't stop looking for my wallet until I found it because I really, really needed to pay that bill. And just like I did not stop, man, I'm praying that you won't stop, you specifically, high school student in this room or listening, that you won't stop until sex slaves are found. That you won't stop until labor slaves are freed. And that you won't stop until people all around you are free from the things that have enslaved them. And maybe you're in this room and you're like, I'm trapped, I'm enslaved. Man, there's people sitting all around you that would love to talk to you and tell you about the freedom that I was talking about just now. Just turn to them and say, hey, what's this freedom that he's talking about, this freedom in Christ? And you have an opportunity to tell and share. Because Christians should seek those affected by modern-day slavery until they are found. Let me pray, and then we'll sing a little bit more, and then we'll be out of here. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the fact that it speaks to all of the issues that we face in our world today, the big issues that you point out over and over again in your scripture. Thank you for the fact that we've learned tonight that you care about slaves and that you fight for them and that they're all made with dignity and honor and value. Help us to see that and help us as believers to boldly speak out and proclaim and seek their freedom and seek justice on their behalf. And I pray for people in the room that may be slaves right now to some sort of sin or to their rebellion. Lord, I pray that your spirit is freeing them even now and that they're choosing to run to you and choosing to look to you. I pray for students in the room that are boldly following you and are boldly doing everything that we talked about tonight, that they would continue to faithfully share of the freedom that they've experienced through you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.